Tell you what, that worship slayed me. I have to say, there's such a lovely, gentle, humble spirit in this place. And it's just beautiful. And it's a real privilege to be back here and just feel like here I am with family again. You know what I mean? And I think one of the things I'm really grateful for is that when I left, I didn't leave on bad terms. So I'm able to come back. But even if I had left on bad terms, I know because of the nature of you people that I would still be welcome back. It wouldn't make any difference, but yeah. Can I actually say anything or shall we just worship some more? I don't know. Exactly. So we're going to look at this woman this morning. And when I started to look again at this story, which I know really, really well, but always when you hear it, something different comes out, doesn't it? You can never, ever read the same verse in the Bible and something new doesn't come out. And I felt there was a really big link between her and Genesis 2 and 3. If you remember, in the garden, everything was beautiful at the beginning of creation. God and his people were in really beautiful, peaceful, fearless, shameless communion together. And it says in Genesis 2 that Adam and his wife were both naked, but felt no shame. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. But in Genesis 3, after the flipping serpent comes along, you know, you can imagine it, can't you? The woman going, ooh, maybe that would be a good idea to eat that thing. And he is clever and he's still doing the same job now. The flipping deceiver is still deceiving us and tempting us to do stuff and making it look like it would be fun to do. So why didn't you do that? It would be great. But he is the deceiver. And the consequences of that action affected the whole of creation, are still affecting us now in the life that we're living in this world. So if you're about to do something that you think would be lovely, check it with God. Don't just go on your own feelings. It might be a sexual thing, it might be a food thing, it might be an anything. Check it, double check it with the truth of the word. So after the fall, after they were disobedient, it says in Genesis 3, the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. They made the coverings for themselves. At that time, fear and shame came in. Up until that moment, there had been no fear. Why would there be? No shame. Just, I don't know if anybody's had a really sad breakup in their lives. I know I have. I've been in a relationship, particularly when I was young, with a guy who I just thought, this man is giving me everything that I need. And I absolutely fell for him, hook, line, and sinker. And then he abandoned me. And I shall never forget that pain and the tears of that. It was really horrible. Now imagine God in this loving relationship with these beautiful people, and that is what you all are, don't forget, that he had created. The pain of that breakup, of not being able to connect with them in the same beautiful way that he had been able to. The pain that God felt, the pain that he felt when they decided to do their own thing. And then they hid. So here we've got this situation where they're hiding and God is going, He walks in the cool of the evening. He comes into the garden in the cool of the evening. Can you imagine it? The beautiful night air, the freshness of newborn world, the fragrance of the flowers. And he comes in the cool of the evening and goes, calls them, Adam, Eve. And unlike every other evening, there was no response. He calls again, Adam, Eve, where are you? Knowing already that something was broken. They said we were frightened and we hid. They hid among the trees of the garden, ironically. And then Adam says to God, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The Lord God, even at that terrible moment of the brokenness of the relationship, knowing what that act had done, how much terror, fear, shame, chaos, destruction that one act was going to cause for the rest of time until the Lord comes back, he still made them garments. He still clothed them. He still clothed them. And today I'm looking at shame and fear. And I had a picture of a kind of grey cloak of shame. Then, while we were worshipping, I saw the sun cut through that. I saw the sunlight come through it. So let's move on now to the next story. And let's sing the song. Or shall I sing the song? And as I sing, would you pray? Because I've had trouble with my voice. I've had tension and all of that. So, but I ain't going to let the devil stop me. I'm telling you now. And Phoebe's singing. Encourage me, because Phoebe's older than me. And she's singing. So pray. Let's go for it. Let the words dance, please.
Down in the dust you ride, while the accusations fly. Down in the dust you ride.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So imagine again, we were given imaginations by God, and our imagination is really important and very precious. It can be used in wrong ways, it can be used in good ways, but it's a really wonderful tool that we've been given. So I want you now to come with me and imagine dawn, early, early, early in the morning, light just coming up over Jerusalem. The light just coming up over Jerusalem, which is on a hill. And Jesus walks in to the temple courts. Beautiful presence walks in to the temple courts with all the authority and love of the Creator, of his Father, Holy Spirit, Father, Jesus, walks in to the temple. When that woman woke up that morning, she had no idea that that day her life would change. And every day is an opportunity for our lives to change forever when Jesus is there. He sits and the people just gather around him. People were always drawn to him. It's interesting, isn't it? Because they weren't drawn to the religious leaders, were they? But they were drawn to Jesus. That door might maybe just open it and let the children hear. I don't know. Or maybe put a box against it, Prue. Put a box against it. All right. There was something about Jesus, wasn't there? How everybody flocked to him. I think they just had a sense of, even when the teaching was hard, that he loved them. He just brought love and he brought authority. So there they are. Jesus is sitting down and he's teaching. Boom! These guys run in, dragging this woman, dragging her. Is she naked? I don't know. I don't suspect she had much on. And they stand her in a place of shame, hoping to shame her, hoping that Jesus, this person who thinks he's somebody, will give them the order to stone her. Imagine her. How does she feel? How would you feel if the things that you had done, how do I feel if the things that I had done were just laid bare? All the unkind thoughts I've had, all the judgmental, critical thoughts I've had, all the cynical thoughts I've had. Imagine if that was just, if I was just plonked here, you were just plonked here, and that was written across your chest for everybody to look at. You know, I mean, sometimes we think we're something, don't we? And if people knew what we were really like. Anyway. So there she is. And the fear and the tension and the shame just gather apace. Jesus stays peaceful. Jesus never panics. He's never in a hurry. He stays peaceful. He's already got the measure of her. He chose that woman and her story before the world began. Like he chose you and you and you and you and your story before the world began. His intense love for her leads to him writing on the ground, not pointing. His finger is for writing, not pointing. She is terrified. Her life is hanging in the balance. Because at his word, she could be dead. And I don't think that being killed by having stones thrown at you is the nicest way to die. Can I suggest that you put a box against the door from the inside? Thank you. Jesus has questions. One of them is an oblique one. Which of you has not sinned? He says, but they kept questioning him, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And as we know, they gradually left, one at a time, they left. The oldest went first, some people say. Until it's just her and Jesus. And she looks into that beautiful face, those eyes of fire looking at her. She looks into that face and she still doesn't know what's going to happen. And he says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. No more fear, no more shame, no more hiding. Let's have the mirror always lies. And this is God talking to you, okay? When I look at you. When I look at you, I see such grace and beauty. When I look at you. We have a choice. We have a choice to believe the words that God says are true. We have a choice. We can live in our perceptions of that truth. We can live with lies that say nothing will change, everything is always going to be the same. And that is a lie, because with Jesus, everything can change in an instant. Everything can change. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Jesus is the ultimate authority over your life. Not what you think of yourself, not what somebody else thinks of you, not what the devil tells you about you. Jesus is the ultimate authority over your life. So let's come to him, me included, and allow him to take off the grey cloak of shame and fear and dress us instead in the beautiful clothes of righteousness. Trust and obey, knowing that all his commands are good and his paths are peace. Let's pray. I pray, God, for you to enlighten our minds with your truth, the truth of who you are, the truth of what you say about us. And would you give us the courage to let go of things that have held us for many years? I pray that for myself. I pray that for all of us. And thank you, Jesus, that you can do this. You are able. Nothing is impossible for you. And we can walk into new life from this day onwards. And I pray now for anybody that doesn't know you in their hearts, just open their hearts and allow you in. Because nothing is more beautiful than having Jesus in our hearts. And I'm just going to pray a prayer, just in case. So I'm going to just pray this, and pray with me if you can. Jesus, I come to you with all of my fears, my failings, my shame, all the stuff I've done wrong. And I say sorry. And I say, please forgive me. And I say to you, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart, bringing your new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I can become your light in the darkness of this world. Amen. And if you prayed that, either listening on Zoom or listening later on the recording, just talk to somebody about that. Say that you made that decision today to allow Jesus into your life, to run your life, because I'm telling you, darlings, he'll do a lot better job than you ever will. Amen.